5 minutes. That's pretty good. It'll be my best sermon ever. It'll be the shortest and the best ever. So Luke 14, chapter 7. I love Jesus. How many love Jesus? I love Jesus. Not just the fact that Jesus died for us on a cross and took our place. I mean, you think about what Jesus did at the cross for us and taking our sins. But I love Jesus. I love to read the Gospels. I love his teaching. And I love Jesus was the only person that was spiritually alive when he was on the earth. Have you ever thought about that? You know, the Bible says, before we come to Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, that we're separated from God. And it's our sins, and actually even our sinful nature, like we're separated. It's not our nature to follow God. Paul said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said that in Adam, all men have died. We're separated. You know, it's not a matter of how good you can get, how good you can be, okay? You can do all the good works you want. We mentioned this last week, but fundamentally, our nature is sinful. That's the selfishness in the world. Now, have you ever thought that Jesus was the only alive person? So he was walking around alive around all dead people, spiritually dead. You ever think about that? It'd be like everywhere you go, there's no one but you that's alive in God. No one really loves God like you do. No one truly at the core of their being is truly righteous. Now, the Jewish nation, they knew about God and they followed him by faith, but in their nature. That's why Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 36. He said, one day, he said, I'm going to give you a clean heart. I'm going to put a new heart within you. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. He says, I'm going to purify you and cleanse you. Then, when I put my new heart in you and my new spirit in you, then you'll obey my commandments. Isn't that something? And that's what God wanted. He wanted to put his heart in us. So Jesus is walking around a bunch of dead people. I guess everywhere you go, Jesus could, you know, look around. They could say, dead man walking, because they were all spiritually dead. And so Jesus is doing his best to tell people that are spiritually dead how to connect to God. He was talking about an invisible kingdom, the kingdom of God. Do you know the kingdom of God does not come by observation? Some of us, even Christians, we want everything. We pray for healing and we want to see it with our eyes before we believe it. Jesus said, blessed are those that believe when they don't see. We know that faith comes first, okay, and then the result. When you pray for something, you believe first, and then you see it. But I know I've struggled with this a lot. I'm just like you. A lot of times we want to see it. You say, I'll believe it when I see it, right? No, you believe it, then you see it. That's what Jesus taught. So he was teaching the kingdom of God. He was teaching about an invisible realm to people they really didn't know anything about it. He told one disciple, he said, you know, you're going to see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Ascending and descending. Folks, there is an invisible world that's connected to this world. We know that that world exists. Before we come to Christ, we don't know anything about it. Jesus said that everybody that came before me was an imposter. There's a lot of gurus. There's a lot of religions that try to teach us about God. Why? Why are there so many religions? Why are there so many cults? Why are there so many attempts to explain this? Because men fundamentally know that there's something more. We're born, Jeff, to know that there's more. The most hardened sinner could come in this congregation, you could preach the gospel, and I would guarantee you that they know that there's something more than just what's around us. The fact that there's beauty and there's love and there's faith and there's all these things that are out there in the world, we experience these things, we know that they're more than just a mechanical, cellular, biological, material process. That's the weakest part of the atheistic argument when they ask, you know, Richard Dawkins, you know, what about love? It's just a chemical reaction. It's just the firing of the neurons and an evolutionary attempt in you so you'll survive. Is that what love is? Do you believe that's what love is? Just a chemical reaction? I don't. No, love is, in fact, love is so essential to our nature. We all want to belong. We all want to be loved. There's nobody different. Even the most strident loner needs love. No one can do without love. So Jesus is teaching about this invisible kingdom, this invisible realm to dead people. Okay. Now, that's why he said it's important for you. And I pray that you listen to me today as born-again believers. You got to know this. He says, it's important. It's more expedient. It's better. This is hard to believe. It's better for you that I go away. He said, no, Jesus, it's better if you're here. We could set up headquarters in Jerusalem. If anybody needed a miracle, if they needed a word from God, we'd just march them by Jesus and he'd just dole out miracles and words of knowledge all day long. You got 3 seconds with Jesus. You walk by, he says, be nice to your wife. Whoop, you're gone, you know. Next one comes by, you know, boom, you're healed, you know. No, that's not better. He said, it's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's not some thing that we ignore. The Holy Spirit brings to us Jesus. Do we know that? I say that a lot, I know, but did you know that? The Holy Spirit takes what's Jesus's and he brings it to you. You don't even need me. I just sit down, right? No. I mean, we got teachers and pastors and prophets and all these things in the body. We need those to build you up. But what a teacher, a prophet, a pastor, all the evangelists, what we're really trying to do is connect you to Jesus and Jesus fill you with the Holy Spirit so you have an inside job. You have an inside voice. You have an inside person on the inside of you talking to you and walking with you, but it's by faith and it's an invisible realm. You just don't see it. He says the Spirit blows, you know, like the wind or where he will. You can't see, but you know he's working. How many know the Holy Spirit's working? How many had him working this week in your life? I've got stories. I'm not going to share them. Because the Holy Spirit is always working. And he said, it's better that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take what's mine, Roger, and he'll reveal it to you. And then he said, everything that belongs to God belongs to me. Everything, Kayla, that belongs to God belongs to me, Jesus said. And he said, I'm going to show it to you. That's why we seek God. That's why we get our Bibles out. I pray that you do, that we get our Bibles out and we read our Bibles. Because the Lord wants to talk to you. I'll preach on it every week if I have to until you get your Bibles out and start reading them. God wants to talk to you. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. God wants to educate you. We met a girl at Allison's. Do you know you can get whatever you want at Allison's restaurant? You young people, just let it go. You'll never figure it out. We went to Allison's, and there was a young girl, and she said she was a Christian. We were talking to her, and Jackie had some good words for her, and I talked to her. And you know what got me? She had a faith in God. She said she had lost her faith, but she had come back to God. She had a faith in God, but her lifestyle right now really wasn't in line with the Word of God. And see, it breaks my heart because she's going through disaster right now. She got kicked out of her apartment. These things are going on. And I'm trying to connect you to a church. Do you know this church? And you recommended a church. And the reason I'm trying to connect you to a church is she needs discipled so bad, because our ignorance, the Bible, what's that scripture about knowledge? You know, when we don't have knowledge, the lack of knowledge destroys us. My people, in Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And this young lady, if someone doesn't teach her knowledge from God, her whole life she's going to be destroyed and she's not going to know why. Darkness is like blindness. You walk in blindness, you walk in darkness, your life is in destruction and you don't even know why. And the church is quiet way too much. I'm quiet way too much. The Holy Ghost will help us not to be so quiet. We got to help people. This young lady is going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. It breaks my heart. I'm in my little 5 minutes with her. I'm trying to help her somehow and connect her, right? Trying to encourage her. She needs discipled. She needs taught. Because our lack of knowledge does. And here's just one small example. One small example. The Word of God says, honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with the promise. Paul says that in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6. Do you know when you don't honor your father and mother, bad things can happen? You open up negative stuff in your life. But when you honor your mom and father, there's a natural blessing. If you knew that this was the truth, Jeff, like, and you do honor your mother and father, And so if you knew that was the truth, like there's a blessing by faith when you believe God and you choose to honor your mother and father, I don't care what your mom or dad did, you would find a way somehow to honor them because you know there's a blessing in it, right? You would trip over your feet. The most wicked stepmother, well, I won't say stepmother, the most, forgive me that, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. The most horrible, must have been something in my inner psyche. Actually, my mother-in-law was a sweetie. She always made me peach pie. She was a sweetie. She's with the Lord now. But you would find a way to honor your mother and father no matter what. Because why? Because there's actually a blessing on it. Okay, forgiveness. I hear Christians say, I just can't forgive them. What? Do you realize that forgiveness, to get your prayers answered, your forgiveness is so important. You must forgive. Why? Because you're a rascal and God forgave you. You think of the things that you've done, and God didn't ask you to clean yourself up. He didn't ask you to get better. He didn't ask you to go through, Tony Robbins' 10 Steps to Success, or Oprah Winfrey's, whatever, La La Land. Okay? Then when you go through, read The Secret and figure it all out, and then I'll forgive you. He said, come as you are, I will forgive you right where you're at. And that's good news, Doug. That's awesome news. You don't clean up to take a bath. You don't clean up to take a bath. You jump in. Talon and I bet Talon and I smelled like 20 miles of bad road yesterday. Talon did. We were chopping wood yesterday. We had a good time. I don't know where Talon, he disappeared. I don't know where he went to. Oh, he's over here hiding. Okay. All right. Appreciate y'all acknowledging puppy. We chopped wood. We had a good time. I don't even know how I got on. How did I get there? Oh, we were dirty, okay? We were dirty. We smelled, okay? You don't say, well, I can't take a shower. I can't take a bath. Why? Well, I'm just too dirty. I'll get the water dirty if I do. No, you take that bath because you're dirty. That's how it is with God. When we come to God just as we are. So if we come to God just as we are, and God has forgiven us all the nonsense and all the mess in our lives, there is no way that we can't forgive everybody. And some people have done some despicable things. We forgive, and if you knew how important it was to your spiritual life to forgive, you would forgive that person. Corey, what's her name? Boom, Tan Boom. Forgave the Nazis for the wickedness they did to her. She found a way to forgive them. She was a great saint of God. Her sister died in concentration camp with her. She used to take care of special needs kids before she got thrown in a concentration camp. They got thrown in the concentration camp because they were hiding Jewish people. And these special needs kids, they'd put them to death because they weren't fully human. You know, they had... It's like when they abort kids because they have Down syndrome or something. We play God and say, well, they're not. What's the difference? To just have them born and put them down then if you put them down in the womb. What's the difference? We're not God. Anyway, that's a side note. We're not God. And if you had something like that done in your life, there's forgiveness for anything we've ever done. We can be forgiven for anything. But the point is that she forgave her Nazi captors, okay? She forgave the most despicable thing. She lost her sister, her mom and dad, her family, and she forgave them. And she went on to have a powerful ministry in God. Anybody heard of her? The movie The Hiding Place, the book The Hiding Place. If you knew how important it was to forgive, you would forgive everybody. Why? Because God will not be mocked. How many believe God's just? If a person does not receive the Lord, okay, and get their sins forgiven, they're going to get exactly what they deserve, and God doesn't need you to judge them. He doesn't need you to figure it out. He doesn't need you to pass judgment. He doesn't need you to be the evaluator. He needs you to forgive, and He'll take care of it on Judgment Day. He will take care of it. Do you trust Him? Then forgive. This is a spiritual law, okay? And so what Jesus is doing, and I'm not even going to make it. There ain't no way I'm going to make it. I hadn't given my first verse yet, so I'm not going to make it. But what Jesus did was He was teaching us these spiritual things. Folks, here's what I really want to get at, because I'm not going to be able to get into it. It behooves you to listen to Jesus and do what He says. Because these spiritual laws are realities. They're not fictions. They're realities. And when we have faith, you say, well, I can't forgive. If you have faith, you can forgive. If you have faith, you trust God. You trust that God is going to make things right. You believe that one day, how can you turn the other cheek? You can turn the other cheek because you believe one day God's going to make it right. It may not be right today, but it's going to be right. And there's a judge and he is going to judge. And he ain't me. It's going to be right. All wrongs are going to be righted. The first will be last. The last will be first. Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. Those that humble themselves will be exalted. It's going to happen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Then we live like it. And we love like it. And we persevere. And we endure like we believe it. Because it's true. You need to believe it on Wednesday. Amen. Why Wednesday? Just Tuesday's good too. Okay. Praise the Lord. That made me laugh. Verse 7. Let's get this. I heard one guy say it's not really a legitimate sermon until you read a verse of Scripture. So I have to read it. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest seat. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, that he may see you and say, friend, come up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is a spiritual law. This is a spiritual law. This is reality. In the kingdom of God. I don't know. The world says you need to swim with the sharks, right? The world says you need to look out for number one. The world says you need to win through intimidation. The world will give you all these ideas and concepts of how to get ahead in life. You know, whoever wins with the most toys wins. But in the way of the kingdom, Jesus says, whoever humbles himself is going to be exalted. Peter said it, James said it, Paul said it, John said it. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But whoever exalts himself is going to be humbled. And I like this. I like one translation. It says, when you go into a room. So you walk into a room, and some of it could be at work, it could be anywhere, but let's just say, for example, you come into a church and you're a new person at the church. You might be the Apostle Paul come back to life. You could have all the gifts of the Apostle Paul. You could be so powerful. You could be so prophetic. You could be so anointed, okay? But if you come into that room, and let's just say it could be anywhere in any context, but since we're all here, say you come into a church. Jesus is talking into our life. The way you come into a place is you take a low seat. You take a position of service. You come in, you don't come in saying, God's gift is now here, and I'll do the thinning around here now, Babaluti. Because I'm spiritual, and I know, I'm close to me and God. We got a close thing going, and I know. These people aren't as gifted as me. They don't know as much as me. I'll do the thinning around here. No, you don't. Even if it's true, you are spiritual and you are blessed and you are gifted. You take the lower room. You take the lower seat. You sit in the back. Well, you know, I want you to please come sit up front. But metaphorically, you sit in the back and you start serving. And I'll tell you what happens when you take the lower seat. Brother Denny, I'm going to say this. Brother Denny, you know, he goes to Haiti almost like an apostle and helps in Haiti feeding hungry kids. He goes over there, and I have no doubt that when he's in Haiti, he's large and he's in charge. In other words, he has a respected position. People honor him and bless him. When Brother Denny came into our church, he found a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't mean you have to find a vacuum cleaner. There's a lot of ways to serve, but I appreciate it. Says when you come into a room, you find the low seat. Now here's what happens. If you are truly gifted and if you are truly called and you're willing to submit your life and your anointing and your service and your person and your knowledge, the Apostle Paul, if you come in here, please take a lower seat. Because he'll come in and steal my church. Who wouldn't follow Paul, right? No, if Paul came in this church, he would sit and take a lower seat, and then he would serve. And as he was serving in whatever capacity God was using, God would begin to exalt him. God would begin to lift. You would begin to see, because Paul would have the church in mind. He wouldn't have his anointing. He wouldn't have his calling. Paul said, I'm serving Jesus. I'm not even serving myself. Paul said, I don't even know how I'm doing. God's the one that's going to judge me. I'm doing the best I can. I trust my conscience is clean, but I can't even judge myself. I'm after Jesus. And he would come in and he would find out how he could serve and what he could do. And that doesn't just mean run the vacuum cleaner. If you come into the room of being a prophet, we have prophetic gifts in this church. Believe it or not, we do. If you come into the prophetic gift and you go in that prophetic room, take the low seat in that room and begin to learn, begin to find your place in your prophetic realm, how God is going to use you in the gift of prophecy. I don't have time. I wanted to go to Romans chapter 12 today. Paul said, I tell every man and every woman among you, do not think more highly, chapter 12, verse 3, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, because God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now get this. He says, so if you prophesy, prophesy in proportion to the faith that God's given you. In other words, don't puff yourself up like a puffed toad and go out and try. He says, stay within the faith God's given you. What happens with that measure? And I'm sorry, but the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10 that your faith grows. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, Paul said, your faith grows exceedingly. The Bible talks about an increasing measure, an ever-increasing measure. When you begin to operate in your gift and in your faith, and you humble yourself and submit it to the Lord, and you it begins to grow. Am I too loud today? I'm sorry. I'm just feeling it. Woo! I'm feeling it. Break out in song. I got one. I got one. It's sitting back here. But when you submit that gift, whatever it is, you submit that gift, God will cause that thing to go. Paul will plant it, and Apollos will water it, but God will cause that seed to grow. And it'll grow when you submit it, when you're humble. Get this. God's grace comes to the humble. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to be super uber gifted. You don't have to be super apostle. What you have to do is be humble, because grace comes to the humble. Amen. Grace comes to the humble. Isn't that good news? We don't have to be flashy or fancy. Grace will come to you when you take the lower place. I begin this prayer. I learned this prayer that someone taught me recently. You go before God every day and you say, God, give me grace today. I'm coming to the throne room boldly because I need grace. I can't do the things that I want to do. I need your grace today. I come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, I want to share my faith today, and I stumble all over myself half the time. Lord, give me grace today to do it. Lord, I'm going to be encountering situations. Give me grace today. I need all the grace. I'm coming boldly to your throne. And lo and behold, what I'm finding out, hey, Bethany, God's given me grace. I'll have marvelous days when I pray this way, and I believe God. Grace, it's not based upon my ability. Paul said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, in a clay pot, so the power can be of God. When we move out of the way, God can move in. When your junk goes out, God's stuff comes in. Isn't that good news? It's not you gritting your teeth and trying to be better. It's you laying on your face and saying, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. All those songs we sing that we don't really know what they mean. Like, I surrender all, and thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me master today. And you get up and act like the devil. No, not you. People out there. You don't do that. No, you don't. I believe better of you than that. But what I'm saying is, it's that grace. I love this idea. Andrew Murray said that grace always finds the lower place, like water. Where does water always go to? Larry, you know this. You've had plenty of floods out on your property. What's that? It runs downhill. Water runs to the lowest place. Water finds that's God's grace. God's grace always finds the lowest place. And he said here, when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And you know, when God exalts you, no one can do anything about it. You don't have to worry. They're going to take away, you know, my blessing. No, they're not. Not when God blesses you. You walk in humility, and no one's going to take your blessing when you walk in humility. When God blesses you, God said, I'll open the door for you and no man can shut it. Brad, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They will gnash their teeth. I can't stand that little guy. I just can't. Who does he think he is? I ain't anybody. But I believe in Jesus. And I'm doing my best to hook my wagon to Jesus. How many know Jesus won? Woo! How many know Jesus won? Paul said, God always, that's 2 Corinthians 2:14, God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He gives me the victory everywhere I go. In Christ. Boy, when we hook and hitch our wagon to Jesus, so when you go into a room, you find the lower place. And then start laughing, start giggling. Because everyone that's self-promoting, you're going to pass them in quick order. Everyone that's self-promoting, just start laughing. When I got to tell these stories, and I know I don't, but because I have to tell you this, and I got to end, and I got so much more. I wanted to go in Ephesians 4. Do you know, if you read in, I'll say this quick because I can't stay there. I got to end. Do you know in Ephesians 4, it talks about the graces and the gifts of God? And in Romans 12, it talks about the function and our faith. Do you know it always talks about, and Mark's been teaching on this on Wednesday nights, the faith that he's talking about, the grace he's talking about, it's always in the body of Christ. Read Ephesians 4. He talks about the measure of grace given to you. It has to do with your function in the body. God wants fruit out of your life. God wants something. He wants fruit in your life. What kind of fruit? Good fruit. Love, joy, peace. Good fruit. Romans 12, same thing. He talks about everyone has the measure of faith. So, and he lists all these gifts, and that's how you're supposed to turn your faith loose in the giftings that God has given you. Turn it loose. And that's how your faith will grow. You're turning your gifts loose. You found your function. Dave Schlabel taught on it about being an under rower, right? About being in a rescue hut, about being an under rower, about finding our function in the temple and being Legoed in. We're all joined together. Your function, your faith, your ministry, all that stuff works through your calling in God. God is, he wants to bless you in many, many ways, but when we start taking our blessings and we detach them from our calling, we're going to get off, because you are way more than just someone that needs to be blessed. You are an eternal being with an eternal calling. Jeff, we've been preaching on that. When you disconnect from that, faith doesn't work very good. It doesn't. You know that. Just go out and go to the bar 7 nights this week and then come in here Sunday and tell me how it's going to work for you. You know? Unless you're passing out tracts in the bar and casting out devils or something, it wouldn't work very good. You're going to be dead. No, no. We find our function in the body. So we take this lower room and you can giggle and laugh all the way to the bank, because God is going to exalt you in due season. That's what he said. He's not a liar. And what's funny about it is God so changes your heart. You don't want to be exalted like, oh, look at Marty. He's such an awesome guy. You want Jesus to get glory out of your life. That's what humility is. When you're really, really, truly thinking, how can Jesus be glorified and how can I help somebody else? Boom. And then you're like, You know the mafia. You guys know anything about the mafia? Anybody here in the mafia? I'll pray for you, sister. Anybody play mafia, that game? I never have. Anybody ever play mafia? Okay. I haven't played it, but I know of it. You ever heard of being a made man? Being a made man. When you're made, no one messes with the made man. Don't mess with him. He's a made man. You need to be God's made man. You need to be in God's inner mafia. Forgive my language here. But you didn't say, hey, don't mess with Mike Wright. He's a made man. God protects that guy. God's got his back. God's taking care of him. When you look after God and you look after the kingdom things, that's how it works. And again, I encourage you this week to read Romans 12 and you'll see the context of it. And read Ephesians 4, you'll see the context. So let me tell you how it worked in my life, and then I'm going to end the message. Just to say how practical it is. I've been to different churches. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. When I went into the last church, the church before here, when I went in there, I had no intention of being anything or doing any. I had backslidden. I was ashamed of my life. I knew better. I went back into the world. I just was going to go in there, and whatever God would have me do, I was just happy to be saved again. Anybody just happy to be saved? I was so happy that I felt God's presence in my life again. I was looking around, trying to find ways to serve. And I just naturally, I wasn't doing anything. I just naturally started inviting people to my house. We had a big cookout in my neighborhood. and we had like 100 people show up in my backyard making hot dogs and weenies, and we just started reaching out to people, and I wasn't doing anything but what was in my heart to do, right? God put this in my heart, and I started doing other things. I started knocking on doors and inviting people and doing things, and all of a sudden, the pastor at the church comes over to me and says, "What are you doing?" I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you're doing this and you're doing that." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's what I do. That's who I am. I love the Lord. I want to share God." And he asked me, he said, "Do you want to be our outreach pastor?" Folks, I wasn't trying to be anything. I didn't ask him to ask me that. I can't believe, Ken, I still can't believe they let me preach there. I can't believe it. I can't. I'm so different than them. I'm way more Pentecostal. Okay. I can't believe they let me preach there. Okay. I don't even remember how it happened. Just one day he said, "You want to preach?" I go, "That's what I like to do. I love to preach." And he let me preach, and I got to preach there. And me and my former, we're great friends. Me and John are great. We're still friends to this day. But I wasn't pushing and shoving. I wasn't pushing and shoving. I was trying to find my place. If you have a gift, don't just be patient. If God wants to exalt you, a person cannot stop it from happening. You be like Jesus, be about your Father's business, hear from the Lord, do what the Lord tells you, you guys flip to this scripture. Everybody flip here, because I can end on this. I'm trying to end. I really am. Proverbs 18:16 says, "A man's gift will make room for him. A woman's gift will make room for whatever." You know, the fivefold ministry gift, it's not the fivefold ministry gift, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, they are in the body for you. The prophet and the pastor and the teacher, they're for you. Their job is to equip you because God has you in mind. God says, "I got that prophet. I got him. But I need to get these people." So God sends the prophet to tell you something, or the teacher to teach you something, or the pastor to love you and pastor you, or the evangelist to herald the good news, because God wants to equip you entrepreneurs, you business people, you teachers, you nurses, you grandmas, all these functions. That's why I was getting at full circle. Suzanne, now I'm coming full circle. I can land it. Here we are. You can make blankets for foster kids because your gift will make room for you. And you can sugar the people to death before church. They're more alive today than they've been in months because she sugared you up before you came into the sanctuary. That's Ann's gift. Her gift has made room for her. Folks, some of you have prophetic gifts. Some of you have evangelistic gifts. You have entrepreneurial gifts. You have all kinds of gifts. The pastor and the prophet is here to help you, equip you, so you can do your gifts. Go make $1 million, then would you please tithe when you do it? I'll be wearing a suit in here. No, Evan says no. I listen to Evan, so praise the Lord. All right. Guys, God, been saying it over and over, came out a little different way. The kingdom of God is real. The principles of the kingdom are real, and they work. Forgiveness, faith, humility, all these things I talked about. It was a big one at the beginning. I even forget what it was. Find the lowest place. In Luke 21, he says, and I have so much more on that, I can't even open it up. He said, become like the younger. Don't be like the eldest son. Become like the younger. Become like the younger. Become like the child. Do you know how many, and I am ending. Do you know, I really am. I really am, I promise. Do you know how many offenses you'll avoid if you become childlike? Paul said, be naive about evil, like, you know, be simple when it comes to evil, but be wise to good. Be wise to good, but very, very childlike. Be childlike when it comes to evil. Oh, really? Oh, they did that? Oh, I never heard of someone doing something like that. Oh, my. Be childlike. Then good? Oh, yeah, I love it. Oh, yeah, that's right, man. Let's give. Let's do this. Be wise concerning good. Be very childlike when it comes to evil. Some of us know too much about evil, don't we? Okay, here's how we're going to land this thing. We're going to, Amy, come up. Can you just strum behind me? Use your gift. Okay. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss. It's been a long service. If you need prayer for something, and I don't feel like we need to do an altar call today. I really don't. If you need prayer for something, I hope Jeff and Evan will join me up front. I hope Ken and Linda, well, Linda's there, will come up. We want to pray for you. If you're struggling and you feel like, well, I don't belong, or you belong. If you, this is a word that came to me when I was praying this morning. Get this. Would you admit it to me if I ask you? How many of you feel like you have the Molly Grubs? The Molly Grubs. Okay, there's one. Anybody else? What's the Molly Grubs? The Molly Grubs are like, you just feel a little despondent, a little despair, a little bit down, a little negative, a little melancholy, can't bust through. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. You just got the downcast. What's that one lady? Not church lady. What's the other one? Not remember the church lady. There's another. What's that? The wine. You see, no, you just feel like, you know, you're struggling and you want to get rid of the Molly Grubs. I want you to come up for prayer today and get some prayer. God wants to get that off of you, that despair, the Molly Grubs, the depression, the I don't fit in, I don't belong kind of sometimes. God wants to get that off of you. That is a spirit. That's not God's spirit. That is a spirit. That's an attitude that you need out of your life. That's not just you, folks. That's someone talking in you, telling you you don't belong. The devil wants to isolate you and get you separate so he can pick you off. He's always trying to, he's a bully. He wants to get you to feel bad about yourself, isolate you, get you over here so he can pick you off. We want you to join in. I had so much fun with Talon yesterday. He's my brother. Me and Terry, I had so much fun with Terry. I am so blessed because I know people and I get to hang out with people, right? I'm hooked in. I get so much life because I'm a part of this thing. I am committed. The Molly Grubs, the depression, I don't belongs, you need to cast those out. They will hinder your walk with the Lord. So if you need prayer for that, the altar is open. Be honest. Anybody out there kind of feel that way? Come on, be honest. Well, I want you to come up and get prayer. Who feels that way but you're afraid to raise your hand? All right, I got some more. All right, praise the Lord. I know they're always out there. So if you need prayer for that, as we dismiss, I'm not even going to hold you, but as we dismiss today, come up and get prayer. Would you do it? Would you do it? Someone say yes. I'll stop. Okay. Father, I thank you so much for your word. It works. It's the truth. It's the kingdom of God. We can find the lower place, the younger place. We can. That's the word. We can forgive. We can walk in your kingdom. We can do it, Lord, because your grace is upon us. In fact, Lord, your word says that your grace goes to the lower place. Jesus could not have gone any lower than the cross and then descending to the lower regions of the earth. Couldn't have gone any lower, and he did that for us. Lord, we choose today as a people to humble ourselves, to find our room, and to go in there and serve. If it's a prophetic room, we're going to serve in that room. If it's a food cooking room, we're going to serve in it. But Father, I pray for people that need released or delivered from what I'm calling Molly Grubs or depression or just this attack on them, this feeling of insignificance or I don't belong or whatever it is, God. It's a spirit. It's a lie. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name against it. I pray that they'll be free today from that. I release the people in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you need prayer, we're going to be up here praying. Please come and get prayer. We'll be up here.